Amen. So we started several weeks ago talking about this supernatural series, Living a Life of More. If I say more, there is more. You know, and I realize we have people from various backgrounds and various stages of your walk with the Lord and various stages of your church experience and where you came from. And maybe this series is a little outside your comfort zone. And let me just say, praise God. It should be. And I'm glad for that. And that's why we're here. We're here to help us all grow closer to God and grow closer and stronger in our faith. And that's what we're trusting God to do. And let me just, of all the things, let me just baseline say, when we talk about things that are supernatural, we talk about the areas of faith. They're not just principles. They're not just things that we just say, you do this and you get that. You pull the lever here and you get that. That's not what we're saying. It's all really built on your personal relationship with the Lord. Your faith in, we're not talking about faith in activity. We're not talking about faith in a principle. We're talking about faith in a person. Jesus said, had faith in God. Have faith in God. So we're all growing in that area. But there are some principles. There are things that there are, as John Eldridge says, there are the way things work. And the way things work in the kingdom is by faith. And so we're going to add a little bit to that. So as we talk about faith, I just wanted to show you maybe a couple of pictures of some people of faith. When we think about people of faith, we have a couple of people that I kind of wanted to show. The Apostle Paul, right? Great man of faith, right? Just believed God. He, through persecution, just kept pursuing God. And then we're moving on down. There's Mother Teresa, who was amazing, who understood that if you wanted to love God, you have to love others and sacrifice your life for others and give to people that cannot pay you back. Amen. Mother Teresa was a great example of someone who, actually, it's the greatest way to give is when people can't give you back, bless you back, right? And you rely on God for that return. Amen. So, and then the next one, Billy Graham, one of my heroes of faith, just continued to do one thing, preach the gospel. Preach the gospel. Do not change. Preach the gospel. And a little bit more modern is this next guy. And anyway, that's kind of a joke. So all you Tim Tebow fans, I'm happy for you. But even all of these people, they're great people of faith. Just laugh. It's okay. It's all good. But all these people. But even up against persecution, right?
Yeah.
Even when people stood up against them and people would make fun of him and, you know, all the things, you know, he became a lightning rod and but his character and his nature and who he was, I mean, he stood up for truth, right? And right and godliness. So all of these people, great, great faith. Everybody say great faith, strong faith, people to be admired, right? That in their faith and their walk with God and what they did and what they chose to live their life about and the way they believe God for their future. But I think that all of these people would agree that there is a group of people that has a greater faith, even than maybe than all of these people. And those people are, this next slide, are farmers. There is probably not a group of people who have higher faith than a farmer. Because a farmer takes a seed, puts it in the ground, covers that seed over, and waits. And waits. And they look and say, please send the rain, Lord. And they wait. And then they wait some more. But it all began with a seed. The title of my message this morning is Supernatural, the Seed. Genesis chapter 8 and verse 22, God says this. It says, as long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will not cease. These truths are going to last longer than you'll be here on the earth. As long as the earth remains, there'll be seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night. They won't cease. It won't end. So this principle of seed time and harvest is a principle that will never end. It'll always be there. And we tend to think, we look at this and we look at that in the natural and go, oh, yeah, 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 seed time and harvest. You know what we think when we think about, and actually I may be tapping into next week's message, but this is how we think. When we want to plant, how many of y'all like to grow gardens? Where are my garden people at? Awesome. How many of you are the people like me that you don't plant from seed, you plant plants? How many of you are the plant people? Where are my seed plant people? You guys are heroes right there. Because I ain't got time to wait on them. Just give me my tomato plant that's already this big and actually has maybe some small tomatoes already on it. That's called, you know what I call that? Head start. But all of you other people, you patient people, are the people who took a seed and planted that seed knowing that there is potential in that seed. And then Jesus, and we think about that in the natural, right? Well, Jesus takes these things, and the Apostle Paul takes these things and brings them into spiritual truths, right? So when Jesus talks about the sower who goes out and sows the word, right? This terminology, obviously, they're a very agricultural group of people in that time. So this is a very common, so everybody understood, right? People like me, I don't understand that. I go buy my plant at Lowe's, right? Or Home Depot, I'm not a, whatever. But usually Lowe's. I plant my thing, right? But we understand it. But Jesus actually starts talking in his terms of there are principles in this seed and farming that correlate to the spiritual, right? And so Jesus talks about seed time, and he talks about planting, the plant, what you plant, right? I'm going to get into that in a little bit, but let me just give you I want to launch with this scripture where Jesus not necessarily talks about that seed, but the principle is the same, right? In this scripture, Jesus is talking, he's talking about farming principle. He just doesn't use the terminology. And you'll hear that in Luke chapter 6, in verse 37. Jesus says this. He says, do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over, will be poured into your lap. For, watch this, with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. Jesus teaches this principle that your actions have consequences, that what you do has consequences. It's interesting. So, and if you look at that, the last verse in verse 38, he says, for with the measure you use it will be measured back to you. Those two words and the very last phrase of that, the measure you use and the measure back to you, those two word measure is a different word. Actually, a different word in the Greek. The word measure, the first one, the measure that you use, has to do with the substantive thing that you give or you measure, right? Something substantive, you know, has substance, right? And then when it says it'll be measured back to you, that measure is the substance that is repaid back to you. That's the word in the Greek. So the idea is that whatever you measure to someone, that is what's going to be measured back to you. Whatever. Everybody say whatever. So let's back up, because right now you're like, oh, this is one of those giving messages. Is it? What's the context of this scripture? First one was judge. If you judge other people, guess what? You will be judged. If you don't condemn other people, you won't be condemned. So be careful as you dish out judgment, as you're a person who dishes out judgment. Oh, now you're like, oh, maybe this would have been easier if it was just giving. The word measure is the amount, right? The amount of that thing that you measure. It will be amounted back to you. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7 says this. Paul's speaking or writing or anyway. He wasn't actually writing. He was dictating, but whatever. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7 says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a person sows, plants, right? That's the word, sows or plants, he will also reap. So whatever you sow is that's what you reap. So there's this idea that planting and harvesting is the same in the spiritual world or in our own life. This principle remains the same. So here's the question that I want to ask you, and I'm going to blow your mind with this. Is that who determines the harvest? Many of us say God. Really? So God determined how much seed you put in the ground? The answer is you. You determine that. You determine your harvest by what seed you planted. That's on us. Now, you can be really rejoicing, or you can be really, oh me. As the old preacher would say, it's amen or oh me. Pick one, right? But the good news is, I'll just help you with the good news because y'all are looking at me like, oh dear God, I should have watched online or something. But the good news is, you can change what you're planting. You can change what you're planting. So Paul talks about this in regards to money, but the principle is a lot bigger than money, right? 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6. He says, and all these things, and we'll actually read this in a minute. The point is this, the person who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And the person who sows generously will also reap generously. Like, see, the thing is, this is what we want. Not you, it's the people outside the church. They didn't come to church this morning. Not you, because you're all perfect. And I am perfect. Remember, always remember that the pastor usually repents about 4 days before everybody else as you're preparing for this, right? So this is what we want in Christianity. We want a no-fault Christianity. We want this. God is just going to rain down his blessings on me. He's going to rain down his favor on me. And no matter what I do, I'm just going to get his favor and his blessing. God, I want a raise. But I'm not going to sow good work ethic. I want friends, but I'm not going to be the one that reaches out and sows friendship. I want people to be generous to me, pressed down, shaken together, running over. People pour into my lap, praise God. But you pinch those pennies so tight, the poor Abraham Lincoln just starts shedding tears. That we're not generous. We're not generous. This is a lot bigger. You understand, like, being generous is not just a Sunday morning, I want you to know that on purpose, we made sure we did the offering before I taught this. Amen. I don't want you to think, oh, he just wants a bigger offering. No, actually, well, we'll get there that minute. Actually, Paul says later, he says, not that I ask. He's actually talking about money in this place. He says, not that I want, not that I'm looking for your the blessing for me. Paul says that I am looking for the blessing that goes back on your account. On your account. But let's stop talking about money for a minute. Because it's bigger than money. It's a heart, part of it is a heart of generosity. Like, for instance, now when you go and you're working your deal, maybe you're buying a car. This is going to hurt. You're buying a car, and man, you're working over that salesman. And you're just working them. I'm going to get my deal. And at the end of the day, it's going to save me like $2 a month. But I'm going to get every dime that comes. You know that salesman has to make a living? You know that salesman? I used to work in dealerships. We know. Not many of those salesmen are super rich, are they? And they're also working usually, what, 12-hour shifts? Or longer? Rain, shine, people show up, they don't. And I want to work that poor salesman over for a couple of dollars? That's too much. What about this scenario? That server at that restaurant that saw us pray before we ate. You know what? I had a guy that I went to school with, and he would tell his waitress, he said he would have his glass of tea, sweet tea. This is in Tulsa. And he would tell a guy, I just want you to know, he would tell her right off the bat, this is your tip-o-meter. The lower this glass of tea gets, the lower your tip's going to be. He would tell them that. And you know, as a concerned Christian that about our testimony, I would just go, oh yeah, that's hilarious. It's a joke. Please, like. But some of us are, the tip is, to ensure proper service. Right? Well, they didn't give me a proper service. I'm going to withhold. You hear that? I'm going to withhold a blessing. Or a tip because of their actions. Aren't you glad God doesn't do that with you? Maybe they had a bad day. Maybe they saw you pray and they were going, oh, here's some of this. It's Sunday afternoon. We're going to get terrible tips. Probably going to get one of those goofy $100 bill. That's not really a $100 bill. It's a tract. Let me just, as a pastor, don't, if you're not, if you, maybe you want to invite like a person to church that's a waiter or a waitress, and you give them one of our Hope Church cards, you better tip them good. Amen. See, generosity is more than just, I support missionaries or I support this church. It's being generous out of your heart. Generosity is more than just, it's generosity is paying, it's a generous heart towards you. Because, you know why? Because, watch this. Not because it's just this, because I can trust God. My Bible says that God owns a cattle on 1,000 hills, and that God says he'll supply all my need according to his riches and glory, not even my own. That I can afford to be generous because my God is able. And my God has plenty. 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 Everybody say plenty. Say there is plenty. There's plenty enough for me because God has abundance. Amen. What about this idea? So this idea of not being, of withholding and not being generous is this idea that I'm not going to have enough. That I'm not going to have enough. If I give, then I'm not going to have enough. Do you know Jesus directly addressed? Did you know Jesus directly addressed that? Like directly. He says, why do you worry about what you'll wear, what you'll eat? He said, look at the birds of the air. They don't worry. I have yet to see, especially not at my house, because we have bird feeders. I have never seen a bird sitting on a wire going, starving. I got nothing to eat. Poor bird. The birds don't care. They wake you up in the middle, they wake you up in the morning tweeting, doing their business. They don't worry. I've never seen a robin wondering what they were going to eat. He said, use that as an example for how God will take care of you. And then he said this, but what do? Seek ye first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all of these other things that you need will be provided to you. Seek first the kingdom and all of these things will be provided to you. So let's get off of money for a second. What is this idea of, what about I need friends? What is kingdom thinking? Proverbs says if you want to have friends, you first be friendly. Show yourself friendly. Right? You want to, if you want to be prosperous, don't sow laziness. Amen? And you go like, you know, it's interesting that Jesus takes these ideas, these principles, and says, hey, but and Genesis actually would say, there's seed time and harvest forever. Whatever someone sows, you're going to reap. If you sow judgment, you're going to get judged, right? Do you understand that this is a principle that works whether you're a Christian or not? Many people outside the faith, that's why Jesus would say things like, hey, listen, some of these people, the people of this world are smarter than the people of light. Because some of those people have got to sit back and go, pour it out, God. I need a job. I mean, I'm playing video games all day. I don't know what else you want me to do, God. I mean, you've heard me worry. This is what you're supposed to do, right? And God says, no, sow, give and it shall be given, right? Whatever you sow, you will reap. Like kindness. Yeah. Kindness. When was the last time you just sowed kindness? Goodness. Principles of the things of the Spirit. The kingdom things that we sow. What about your gifts? You're like, this is what I want to do with my life. These are the gifts that have been given to me. This platform is full of people week after week who sow their gifts for the kingdom. I don't know. Zach, he may want to be a rock star. I don't know. He could do it. He's really good. I mean, he's got the hair. But what do? You sow. Sow your giftings. Sow what God has given you every single Sunday morning. Some of you are amazing cooks, and I enjoy it every single week. And I thank you. You sow your gifts. Listen, that matters. All those things matter. Your giftings, your kindness, your goodness, sowing these things, right? Maybe you've written some things on that prayer board. Maybe sow a Wednesday night that you come and you pray. And you don't just find yours, you pray for somebody else. You pray for others. You sow that prayer for others. Sow that time that you spend for others. You know what's amazing? What happens when you take those things? You know what? I don't know. We've been having about 12 people or so on Wednesday nights. What happens to you is when you come and you pray, something changes on the inside of you. Like this compassion. Like it, something messes with you on the inside and you go, oh. I know there's times I just weep as I pray for people. Say, pray for you guys. Some of the things that the people in this room are going through. Maybe pray for somebody else. Sow that time for somebody else. This has never been about just me, right? I am not the center of the vortex of the world. All of the planets do not revolve around me, right? All right, well, that's landing so well. Let's talk about money. It's a principle. It's a law like gravity. You sow, you reap. You give, and it shall be given. You don't judge. If you judge other, you'll be a person that becomes judged. You condemn people, I'm telling you. You're a person who doesn't just, you just give mercy freely. Listen, you can get to a place where things just don't affect you. They may sting, but you've sown so much mercy. You sowed so much goodness. Jesus is up on the cross, right? And he's saying, Father, forgive them. Stephen is being stoned to death. And he's right. All the things that he said to get stoned, he was right. And he was being stoned for it. And he didn't say, watch this. Stephen didn't say, get him, God. Let it be repaid back to them. Stephen said, hey, God, this sin that they're doing right here, don't hold that to their account. Forgive, and you'll be forgiven. It's the attitude of generosity and giving. So watch this in 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 6. Now we'll switch over because we are going to land on finances this morning. And there's cards that we're going to pass out that you can grab for what you're believing God for. But watch this. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 6 says, the point is this. The person who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. The person who sows generously will also reap generously. Each person should do as he has decided in his heart. This is where much of the church has gotten wrong, because we haven't done this. We've said, you know, just come, let me just tell you what to give. There's 15 people in here going to give $15,000, right? I'm going to preach on giving until you start giving, right? Each person should do as he has decided in his heart. not reluctantly or out of compulsion, since God loves a cheerful giver. This attitude of generosity, right? And watch this. God is able to make every grace overflow to you, that in every way, always having everything you need, that you may excel in every good work. As it is written, he distributed freely. He gave to the poor. His righteousness is forever. Now the one who provides seed for the sower and bread for food. Notice he said, I provide the seed for the sower and bread for food, will also provide and multiply your seed and increase the harvest of your righteousness. Let me just say it. Have people taken this to an extreme? Yes. But don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. He is talking about money, and he's talking about the blessing that happens when you become a person who's generous in your giving financially. This is like difficult, right? These topics are difficult. I'll be honest, sometimes it makes me uncomfortable. Because I know like much of your giving is going to be to the church and feels very self, you know, whatever. But listen, Jesus, you can't get away. Jesus said, where your treasure is, there's where your heart is. So why does it feel, why do we get upset? Why do we feel kind of a certain kind of way? And I can't wait for, is it time to go? When is the band going to come back up? Why do we feel that way? Because listen, as your pastor, let me tell you, because it's connecting with your heart. It connects with our heart. Because where your treasure is, there's your heart also. So generosity is not out of the compulsion. It's out of the generosity of your heart. Philippians chapter 4. This is the scripture I was talking about, 4 verse 17. He says, this is talking, if you look at the context, this is talking about money. He says, not that I seek a gift, but I seek the profit that is increasing to your account. But I've received everything in full and have an abundance. I am fully supplied, having received from Epaphroditus what you provided, a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice pleasing to God. And because of all that, because you are faithful in giving, and my God will supply all your need according to the riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10. Bring the full tenth into the storehouse so that there may be food in my house. Test me in this way, says the Lord of the armies. See if I will not open the floodgates of heaven and pour out a blessing for you without measure. I will rebuke the devourer for you, so that you will not ruin the produce of your land, and your vine in your field, and your vine in your field will not fail to produce fruit, says the Lord of the armies, by tithing, by giving. Right? It's just the Bible. Right? It's just the Word of God. The only place that I can think of where God says, test me. Test me. There's no other place where God says, matter of fact, it says, you should not test the Lord your God. Well, except in Malachi. When he says, give. He says, God has the boldness to say, watch me. Watch me. Or trust me. Trust me. See, in all of these things, till the end of the earth will remain seed time and harvest. The principle is, and the point is, God does not determine the harvest. You do. I do. Because of the seed I've sown. Because of what I've given. Whether that's money. Whether that's kindness. Let me just say for this one. People are lonely right now. Lonely. Some of the greatest needs I hear. I just need friends. You talk about a pandemic. We have a pandemic of loneliness, of people who don't have friends and are lonely. You want friends? What are you sowing? And now I'm already here. Might as well just crunch your toes. Then we use this. I can say, I feel like I've said these things forever, right? You know me. You know my heart. But let me just say, as a pastor, I cannot say these things, right? It'd be wrong. But then we'd do this. So we'll say, well, I'm an Enneagram, blah, 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 blah. I'm just an introvert. That's just not my personality type. God says, you know, you're right. I know you're an introvert. Seed time and harvest doesn't really apply to you anymore. Don't let the world label you something that God's called you to overcome. Yeah, that's your personality type, right? The other person has a personality type where I just go and go, 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 and go, and go, 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 and go, and go, go, and go, and go, and I just go. When God says rest, 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 he goes, no, that's not a part of my thing. I'm just a doer. I'm just a goer. I'm saying, no, God says rest. God didn't create the Enneagram. He didn't create Myers-Briggs. Those are wonderful tools to recognize what you need to work on to overcome some of these things. Tendencies in your life that aren't good. Remember, we are a fallen creature, right? And we are growing from glory to glory. One of the ways you grow from glory to glory is step outside of your comfort zone, pick up a phone, and call somebody. One more story, and then I'll close. I was going through some of the darkest times in my life. I had found myself wrapped up in a thing that about destroyed my marriage, about destroyed. Many of you have heard the story. My wife, she wasn't real happy with me. I wasn't even living at home. You know what I needed? A friend. More than anything, I needed a friend. I was embarrassed, the whole thing. I went down, they have places for pastors who screw up, which was great. So I got to go to one of those. And I had a guy who went with me. He went with me. And we went down, and man, we just had a great time. I felt hope again. I felt like, oh, God's so good. And man, I see a way out. I don't have to be this way forever. God's so good. This was 18 years ago. And so me and this guy, we kind of like became friends. So we get back home. And this is where it gets weird. I'm like, that like wasn't already weird. It got weird because me and this guy really kind of connected, you know, kind of going through some similar things. And so I went, okay, I need a friend. And so literally, watch, this is how you sow into friendship or an example. I would pick up the phone and call him. I said, hey, let's get together. Let's maybe just like once a week. Let's just call, or maybe every other day. I think it was every other day. Actually, his scripture that he gave says, the Bible says that encourage one another daily so you will not enter into the temptations of sin. That's Paul says that. So that was his conviction. And I'm the one always calling. I'm calling him. Hey, we're gonna pray today. We're gonna pray like every, I think it was every other day. We decided every other day. And I would call him, like, yep. Oh, yeah, I forgot. Yeah, okay, yeah. So I was like, what do you mean you forgot? I literally, honestly, felt like a middle school boy trying to talk to another middle school girl. Like, this is the weird way. That, I mean, it's weird. I'm like going, hey, dude, hey, listen, let's pray together. Hey, how are you doing today? And then walk away, go, how come you never called me? How come I'm always the person that calls? But you know what? I kept doing it. You know why? I needed it. Was I hurting? I was hurting. I was the one that I wished people were calling me. And I'm calling. Call after call. Months after months of me pursuing a relationship with this guy. You know, that guy became one of my best friends. You know who I'm talking about. We were always together, weren't we? That guy became one of my strongest support. And then we joked about it later. I go, dude, I felt weird just calling you all the time. But man, we became this just bond of friendship. That if I could understand David and Jonathan's relationship, that's kind of the way it was. Strong bond, guy to guy friendship that I needed desperately. But it happened because I sowed and kept sowing and kept sowing and kept sowing and kept sowing. And I was hurting and I kept sowing and I kept sowing. And when we talk now, even though we haven't seen each other in a minute after we started the church and all that, it's like nothing's ever changed. He's one of those people now. Where you just call him up and go, oh, wow, it's been that long? And we just talk like we haven't missed a day. But it happened because you sowed. It's not happened. It doesn't happen. It's not God's magically going to send a friend to me. God's magically going to send an abundance to me. God's magically going to help me become a person that's peaceful. Or God's going to have people come and be a blessing. It happens because you sow. You sow. And then you sow some more. And you sow, not because you're out of compulsion, not even because you're wanting the return. It's because it comes out of here. The truth of the matter is, I knew he needed it too. Let's all stand together. This works. Whatever, everybody say whatever.
Whatever.
You sow, that you will reap. Whatever you sow. Got your young come on up. So on those tables, we landed on finances this morning. And maybe you are believing God for a financial breakthrough. A financial, I had somebody tell me, we're believing for a house. And in the natural, you want to go, it's the wrong time to buy a house. Am I going to say that to somebody believing God? You think God's worried about this economy? You think God can't provide a house in this economy? Cattle on a thousand hills. No lack. God doesn't ever take a loan. You ever think about that? God never takes a loan. Doesn't need to. Close your eyes right where you're at. What are you trusting God for financially? We don't give out of compulsion. Maybe God is dealing with you about your giving. Maybe God is dealing with you about becoming a tither. You say, man, that's 10%. You know what? God is so gracious. I would say, just start somewhere. Just start somewhere. My wife and I, we committed a long time ago that our tithe goes to the local church and our giving goes somewhere else. That's our conviction. And I can't tell you, supernatural provision. Are we rich? No. Have we been abundantly provided for? Have we gone, literally my wife and I have gone all over the world to preach the gospel. Seen things that many people will never see. Kim, back there in the back, she and I and the team we've been in the middle of between Haiti and Dominican Republic, driving, watching the sun rise over the mountains of Eastern Dominican Republic. I've lived a blessed life. Am I perfect? Nope. That's not the qualification. But I've sowed. I've given. I've given when it hurts. I've given out of abundance, and I've given when it hurts. I believe in the principle of sowing and reaping. And I live it. So maybe you're believing God for provision. My Bible just told me that because of that church in Philippi, because they gave, was a direct result of that God will provide all I need according to his riches and glory. That when I seek first the kingdom, all these other things, I don't know how it works. I know in the Bible it said that until the earth goes away, seed time and harvest. Just like as true as summer and winter. As true as that there's hot and there's cold. Sowing and reaping. So God, we thank you. Father, I thank you, God, for every person in this room. And God, I pray that you would help this principle sit down into us deeply. God, that not only will we sow our money, we plant seeds of our money. We'll also plant seeds of generosity, of our own, of ourselves, of our time, of our kindness, of our love, of forgiveness, and God, we thank you. And you give back to us good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. And God, we pray that that return is the good seed that we sow. We thank you.